I call it the myth of perfection. I fought so hard for a long time with that myth of perfection. Man, if I'm going to move up, if I'm going to get promoted, if I'm going to go here, then there, and all those things, I've got to do all the right things. I've got to say it the right way. I've got to never stumble. I've got to. And then after that not working out so well, I thought, man, well, people seem to be more interested in following leaders who are human, who are real, who are authentic, who can say to them, man, I'm glad I have you guys because I don't have all the answers.
The Digital to Learn podcast is dedicated to exploring both what's new and what's good in the use of technology in teaching and learning.
Our mission is to have the best minds sitting in front of our microphones sharing evidence-based strategies for digital teaching and learning.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Thank you for joining us. And now, the Digital to Learn podcast.
Hi, everyone. I'm Tiffany Snyder on the Digital to Learn podcast, and I'm here with my co-host, Brad Garner. Welcome, Brad.
May I say that I'm thrilled to be here.
I believe you. But we're even more thrilled, no offense, Brad, to have our guest back this week. And our guest is Jeff Williamson. Welcome, Jeff.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to be here.
Well, we're going to dive right back in where we left off last week. Now, I didn't realize that you had, or I didn't remember perhaps, that you'd worked for so many different institutions. And I know you study and you teach leadership. From going from institution to institution, having different roles, studying leadership, what have your observations been and how have your thoughts about leadership changed from those early times in higher ed until more recent times as a consultant?
Well, as you might imagine, I've learned that I've made a lot of mistakes in the past. I think back to my earlier years when I was a younger, less experienced leader. And I thought I had to be perfect. I call it the myth of perfection. I fought so hard for a long time with that myth of perfection. Man, if I'm going to move up, if I'm going to get promoted, if I'm going to go here, then there, and all those things, I've got to do all the right things. I've got to say it the right way. I've got to never stumble. I've got to.
Are you saying that's not true?
And then after that not working out so well, I thought, man, people seem to be more interested in following leaders who are human, who are real, who are authentic, who can say to them, man, I'm glad I have you guys because I don't have all the answers. I need your feedback. I have to make a decision on this, but man, I'm not sure what the best way to go is. I'd love to hear your thoughts and your feedback. And then it's this thing of we accomplish things rather than, I've got all the answers or I'm the guru. So and that was just so foolish. And so that's been one of the biggies for me along the way has been to put aside that myth of perfection, not try to hide behind that shield. And it took me too long to learn that. But it's almost counterintuitive. But the more that I learned to say, I'm not sure how I feel about that or not sure what the best way forward is. What do you all think? And then provide space for other people to speak into that, because as you know, that involves people, it gives them a valid sense that they can contribute, that they have a place here. And, that all goes in with the strengths approach that's so important and that everybody has something to offer. Everyone has some unique configurations of strengths, gifts, and talents that I don't have. And so how foolish of me would that be to not engage them and to say, what's your take on that, Tiffany? What's your take on that, Brad? I don't really know what to think about that. Now I've tapped into your skills and abilities.
I would imagine that was a kind of a freeing experience for you as well.
It's a lot of work to try to be perfect. And I was not good at it. Not at all. But it's funny, sometimes the mistaken mindsets that we have. Mm-hmm. And then when we realize, oh, I was so wrong to think that way or to approach it that way. And things could have been better and solved quicker if I would have just gotten over myself, as I like to say.
And sometimes I think out of self-preservation, perhaps we, you know, operate in a certain way. And
yeah, I mean, I think it's, you know, fear is a part of perfection, of seeking out perfection, or at least a perception of perfection. It's like, I'm afraid of what you might think if you saw how imperfect and broken. Yeah.
Absolutely. A lot of the work that we do is with faculty. What are some of the postures you've seen faculty assume in relation to their students? And do you think those have help or hinder the student learning process?
I think you can do both depending on the take that a person has. I mean, I think back to my days as a student and people that I had in the classroom that I thought, that's a cool way to teach. That's a different way to approach students. And he's retired, and I don't know how active he is on LinkedIn or Facebook or anything else, but Dr. David Kahle was my communication professor many moons ago. And he was the guy that I went into his class, and the way he carried class, the way he connected with students and, you know, would show up and sit down with you at lunch in the cafeteria and engage in your life. And I thought, wow, this is different than what I thought college would be like. And, you know, so I had many classes with him because that was my major because of him. And then I thought years later, I'm like, you know, I want to be me, but I want to connect with students on a real level. I want to connect with students to where they think, hey, this guy knows a little bit about some specialty, but man, he's just a guy. He's a good dude that I can have a conversation with. And it's not like this, it's just like this, right? And so, you know, I think part of it's just the shift over decades from Sage on the Stage to more of the facilitating, mentoring walk. You know, my version of it is I like riding shotgun with students, you know, where I can say, if you look up there's buffalo crossing the highway. So we might want to pump the brakes, but you know, it's up to you. And so, you know, so I think, you know, as Parker Palmer says, we teach who we are.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I love I love that book, The Courage to Teach. And I, over the years, as I've been assigned to, you know, mentor a new faculty member, I usually handed them a copy of The Courage to Teach. Because it talks about the, you know, the imposter syndrome, where we teach in a certain way and we're not sure if we're actually good or we actually know what we're talking about. And at some point, hopefully, we kind of go, you know, I'm okay at this. And I think that whether we're talking about adult 30, 40, 50 year old graduate students or 18, 19, 20 year old university students, they have it takes them about 5 seconds to get a read on how real we are. That's Martin.
Absolutely.
The powerful example that you gave was this classroom, traditional classroom experience where that professor walked in, and I was thinking of, you know, a professor that stood out in my mind, and I'm sure Brad is imagining someone too. How in this era with some of the online teaching and learning opportunities, how do professors establish that kind of presence and take students by surprise? Yeah. And we just today, Brad and I, we wrote a piece on empathy and the idea that are professors there and do they care? And so we'd love to hear from you too on not necessarily the empathy piece, but that presence piece.
And I'm glad you asked that. That's been something that, you know, going back even to a couple institutions back when online education or doing a hybrid class was this big, new and different thing, you know, where we meet sometimes and online sometimes. And And so, yeah, going back probably 15 years, writing curriculum and developing programs for online like that, because it is different, but it doesn't have to be better than or either, or, you know, it can be mm-hmm. both. And so, yeah, so that's something that's really important to me. I mean, I'm not afraid of hopping on a video. And sometimes that can be even a barrier for folks that would maybe consider themselves more traditional faculty for what that's worth, or whatever that means. I think it's changed. Mm-hmm. But for me, when I'm teaching an online course, one of the things that is big for me is them having a legitimate sense of my availability. That's a big one for me.
That is good.
And I know I've had people I love and respect tell me that I'm out of my mind for doing this, but I post my personal cell phone on my course mm-hmm. site. I repeatedly on, weekly announcements say, hey, if you're stuck or you need something or you're off the rails, please don't sit there doing nothing. Text me, call me. We can hop on, So I'll almost, probably every other week, I'll say, remember, my number's right there. It's this, 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 and this. And you can text me. If I'm awake, I'll answer you, And we have to have boundaries, but you understand what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. For me, I mix in, I just do a weekly, somewhat off the cuff review of what's coming up that week. And so they hear from me and they see me, even though they don't know me. And so when I mix mm-hmm. that with my availability, they've got my number, and I'm really quick to answer those texts or things back, because I want them to see, okay, he really does respond. I hit him.
Yeah.
And what's been interesting is people like, they're gonna drive you crazy. No, they don't. They only reach out when they really need help with something. And they apologize. And I'm like, please don't apologize. I gave you my number because I didn't want you to be stuck on something at 8 o'clock at night and tell you, oh, well, you have to call me at 8 a.m. in the morning. I'm like, you might need to work on that night. So I want to give you a clarification or answer to the problem. And so making a clear sense of availability, utilizing some of the tools, the video tools. I mean, depending on what LMS you're on, the one I'm used to, we can do video feedback on assignments. We can do audio feedback on assignments. So it isn't just type, grade your paper. That's almost like a correspondence course. If they don't see us, you're from us.
Absolutely.
And I know you guys know that. But, it's just those kind of things that I want them to know there's a real guy teaching this online class, and that isn't just this name in the middle of nowhere and they're on their own.
My guess would be that that's exactly the answer that Tiffany wanted to that question.
It was.
But you didn't set me
I feel
up.
Very I mean, affirmed.
You didn't tell me what to say. That's.
I'm brushing off my shoulder.
Yeah. And even doing those things, I'm still thinking, how could I be more personal? And so it's kind of like letting the moat down, if you will, and saying, come on in, man, everybody's welcome here. We can talk, as long as we're respectful, professional, and kind, we can talk about anything here. But just be good to each other, respect each other's perspectives, listen to each other, hear each other. And man, we can still have fun even if we're in 5 or 6 different states at the same time, because we can be
Absolutely.
Together if our spirits are right.
Well, as you described carrying the burden of trying to be perfect, I think faculty often carry the burden of trying to be the expert
right.
in the room.
Right.
So if you ask a question, I have to have the answer. Mm-hmm. I can't just say, I'm not sure about that. Let's look at it. Let's figure that out.
Yeah. And if you want to set yourself free, don't try to have all the answers, right? One of the things that I did in developing a recent course that I've taught a couple times now was, and this wasn't my idea, the course developer, curriculum designer that I was working with suggested it, and it was brilliant. She said, what do you think about if we did a weekly hot seat topic, but instead of you fielding the questions and the responses, each student has to do it?
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm like, I like that. And it's been so interesting and meaningful because they really take on a different role that it's, and I don't feed them all softballs either. You know, like the course that I do it in is a leading change course. And so each week is about leading change in different sectors. So one of the weeks it's healthcare, another week it's K-12, another week it's business, another week it's on immigration and law enforcement. You think that one gets interesting? But we have had some of the best spirited, respectful conversations at differences of opinion about how that should be solved and how important it is. And I'm just like, that's been even better than I hoped for, to just watch them engage each other. And so by the time the course is over, everybody has to hot seat a conversation at some point over the 8 weeks.
That's awesome.
So if it's a bigger group, I, you know, split them out in subgroups and they have to lead the conversation, but it's kind of like, welcome to my life, you know?
Is there a certain topic, or what is the topic or the message that you think you would, you know, focus on if given the opportunity to have an audience like university leadership at a time as this?
First of all, I would say, yes, where do you want me to be? What, you know, yes, absolutely. That's happened before. You know, after saying, yes, I'd love to, would be, you know, be one of two things. It would be focused on what's become one of my mantras: relationships are everything. And then I would walk through the different places and sectors and times of how that plays out and how I've seen that to be true. The other thing, because I'm a strengths junkie and I don't want to quit, is I would probably either talk about strengths in the workplace or I would integrate that with, you know, relationships are everything. And here's how you can bring your unique and wonderful self to the dance, if you will. Those would probably be a couple of go-tos that are just in my heart, you know, that I could do 20, 30 minutes with a note card, because I've just been preaching this stuff for 20 years. And
that's,
I love
your topic.
It.
Yeah.
So Jeff, tell us your five strengths, your top five strengths.
Maximizer, number one, strategic, learner, individualization, and discipline. Those are my top five.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah. And so how fitting is it that I get to teach, train, and coach people, and maximizing others is my greatest gift, my greatest joy.
Yeah.
That's
awesome.
It's so much fun. I can't believe I get to do
that. Well, as you describe what you do, we can just hear the joy that you have in doing that.
That's been my word this last couple of years. You know, I know some people pick a word a year, and I don't necessarily do that, but it's really, that's what's resonated with me over the last couple of years, has just simply been joy. How do I bring it? How do I have it? What does that even look like? Little spoiler alert. I'm working on a new book project.
I was going to say you should write a book about that.
I'm in the early phases.
Good.
If we've got time, I can tell you a little bit about it.
Okay. Sure, let's hear it.
So starting back in June, I decided that I wanted to write something that, and here's that's the key word, joy and connection and community. And so I decided I'm going to visit at least 50 different coffee shops. I'm going to interview people who started it. I'm going to talk to people who are there. I'm going to go some places and just be a stealthy fly on the wall. And I'm going to see if they have the Cheers effect. Like the old show Cheers, where everybody knows your name. And so I've already visited over 20 different coffee places in five different states.
Wow.
With just a little bit of cream in your
bit,
coffee.
Unless it's real, unless if it's you bought really, a pastry. Really good coffee. Like they'll say, well, we have a Costa Rican today. I'm like, I'll take it black. Just Costa Rican. I'll take it
there
black.
You go.
So I visited over 20 places. I'm going to do another little, and I'm calling it my coffee tour. So it's popped up on my LinkedIn, on LinkedIn, as well as Facebook. And so I've been, it's the coffee tour. It's the 2021 coffee tour. So I hit 6-7 places in Fort Wayne in July in 1 week, did some interviews, met with some people, done other places here in Illinois where I live. I'll be in Central Indiana, unfortunately not Marion, but that could be on my list soon. Central Indiana, and then I'm going to do another leg of the coffee tour in October that will go through Illinois, St. Louis, Missouri, and on down to Bentonville, Arkansas.
Nice.
My hope is to maybe be at 40 places by the end of October. So once I have hit all those places and taken notes and interviewed, you know, people about why did you do this and how do people find community and connection here, then I'm going to get to the writing part. And I don't know what I'm going to call it yet, but I think the subtitle is going to be Rediscovering Community and Connection. So you heard it here.
When it's finished, that you'll come back and share with us again.
Absolutely. I'd love to.
Yeah.
Because it goes back to what we've talked about. Relationships, others, mm-hmm. joy, connection. That's what I'm about. And I think especially coming out of 20 and 21 with the pandemic, mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know when the last time was we needed to rediscover connection and community than we do now. I think people are hungry for it. And I'm hoping I can get a little slice of what makes that so special. And I'd love to come back and talk more about it.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Probably sometime in 2022. I haven't pitched it to any publishers yet. It's still at that concept phase, but my plan is to float it out there and see if somebody wants to print it for me.
Well, anybody who's smart would say, absolutely, I'll take that one.
You're very kind. Thank you.
So we will have you back to talk more about that.
I'd love to.
Thanks so much for being with us today and sharing your joy with us. We appreciate that.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure for me as well. Thank you.
And for all of our listeners, you can have a link to Jeff's website, a link to his book that's already published, a link to his LinkedIn where you can follow his coffee tour on our website, www.digitaltolearn.com with a numerical 2.
Thank you for joining us on Digital to Learn.
If you enjoyed this podcast, there are 3 things we ask you to do. 1, come back and join us again. 2, tell your friends about us. And 3, give us a positive ranking on your favorite podcast platform.
Digital to Learn is brought to you by the Center for Learning and Innovation at Indiana Wesleyan University.
Embrace the future.
Always keep learning.